God's already showing his glory. I don't know if you're picking up on it, but he's already doing it. He's already showing himself mighty and powerful. And the Lord is speaking. Thank you, Father. Out of the book of Acts chapter 2, let's go there quickly. And I'm going to take the short road and explain some of this. But in Acts chapter 2, I'm going to start at verse 1. And we are acquainted with this scripture. Out of Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire. And it set upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. For time's sake, I'm going to skip around a little bit. Let's go to verse 14 or verse 12. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what means this? Others mocking, saying, these men are full of new wine. But Peter, standing up with the leaven, lifted up his voice and said unto them, ye men of Judea, all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my words. For these are not drunk as ye suppose, seeing it's but the third hour of the day, 9 a.m. in the morning. But this is that which the prophet spoke, Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now let's skip with me to verse 36. And then this is Peter. So Peter, this is the day of Pentecost, and now Peter is beginning to preach the truth. He's preaching about Christ. In verse 36, he says, therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God has made that same Jesus whom you have crucified both Lord and Christ. This is the day of Pentecost, one of the three major feasts. And the Jewish males were required to be in Jerusalem on that feast. So he's speaking to so many of the Jews there at that time. Wouldn't it be like God to seize the moment? And so in verse 37, now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exalt, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were what? Baptized. And the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, here's where I want to get into. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. And they continued daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the what? Church. Added to the church daily such as should be saved. Ooh. I want to talk to you, and I want to go back and revisit something that I introduced back in 2013, entitled the Acts 2 model. How many of you remember that? The Acts 2 model. Well, this is something that the Lord wanted me to revisit with the saints of God, because I believe that that's where God wants us to go, in that direction. The Acts 2 model consists of four areas. It consists of evangelize, connect, teach, and reproduce. And the Lord revealed to me a while back in 2013, that this was the pattern for the New Testament church to follow. Somebody say evangelize, connect, teach, and reproduce. That's the pattern of the New Testament church. That's what we are called to do. When you look at Acts 2, as I read that, and it's not in its entirety, but you see this model, how the believers, number one, they evangelize. What do? They share the gospel and they witness to other unbelieving people who did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And then they connected with new converts by fellowshipping and breaking bread together. And you will also see in that text, if you keep reading, that they taught the word of God. In the text, it's called the apostles' doctrine. That's just simply, you know, teaching. And once the new converts learn the word of God, we call Bible study. Somebody say Bible study. Bible study. Don't be afraid. I know you haven't been coming, but it's still right. It's still right. Somebody say Bible study. Bible study. Okay, so when the new converts learned the word of God, they became responsible for teaching the word of God to their family. And it needs to be understood that the church is not totally responsible for teaching your family. You are ultimately responsible for teaching your family the word of God. Come on, somebody. Amen. And that's still right, even if I don't get but two amens. This is where the family Bible study comes in. This is where fathers and mothers teach their children the word of God. And that's why we had catechism lessons going on for a moment. I don't know if we really took advantage of that. I think maybe some of us, we just saw that as a time off. But when you really understand the importance of getting the word of God and sowing that seed into the lives of your children, you will not see that as a time to take off. You will see that as a time to minister unto your children. Because I'm here to tell you, I remember growing up, and though I didn't really want to be in church, my mother made sure that we went to church, took us to Sunday school, taught us Bible. And you know what? The very thing that I didn't want to do was the very thing that kept me from going too far to the left. I went left, but I didn't go too far to the left because I had some word. I had some kind of conscience, some kind of morality through the word of God. Make no mistake, when you are sowing into the lives of your children, even if they acting like they don't want to hear it, they don't need to know anything, I'm telling you, you don't know how important it is, because even though they don't understand, when they get outside, there are certain lines that they will not cross. See, there is sin and then there is sin. And somebody know what I'm talking about. There are some places that you can go real, 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 real dark. And then there's others that say, you know what, I'm crazy, but I ain't that crazy. Am I talking to anybody? It's, you know, so it's important there. And then finally, through this process, they reproduce themselves. So you see, evangelize, connect, teach, and then they reproduce themselves. That's what we are called to do. And it starts at the point of evangelizing. Somebody say evangelizing. Please understand, every believer, young and old, is commanded to do what? Evangelize. Evangelize means to share the gospel message. Don't get that confused with being a preacher. Evangelizing doesn't mean that you have to be a preacher, although a preacher should evangelize. But evangelism is for every believer. It is just sharing the gospel message. It's sharing the good news. It's sharing your testimony, how God saved you and changed your life. So you don't have to know a whole lot of Bible. You just have to have an experience with the Lord Jesus Christ. What did he do for you? What made you change? What stopped you from doing what you used to do? It wasn't you, because you know you had to I can't help it. Come on, somebody. But when Jesus came into your life, he changed your life. That's what you share. That's evangelizing. So the sole purpose for evangelizing is to convert the unbeliever to Christ. So on the day of Pentecost, somebody say Pentecost. Peter evangelized in verse 38 I just read. Peter shared the message of Jesus Christ and commanded the people to do what? If you look in verse 38, to repent. Somebody say repent. The word repent means to have a change of mind, to turn away from the path of sin and turn to Jesus Christ. Can I say this? And I need to say this. True conversion always involves repentance. And why do I say that? Because you have so many people and you say, you know, do you believe in Jesus? Yep. Are you saved? You can almost ask everybody out there. Everybody's saved now. Everybody know Jesus now. Come on, can somebody say amen? You know, you got the rapper say, well, the first thing I want to say, you know, I want to thank God for, you know. I'm wondering now, you know, but you go back and you're cussing and you're calling ladies bees and, you know, and I'm wondering, are you serving the same God that I serve? You know, so everybody's saying they're saved, but true conversion always involves repentance. And repentance means that I have not only a change of mind, but guess what? I turn away from the path of sin. I can't say that I am saved and yet I have not repented. Now you can say you repented, but true repentance has corresponding action. So if this road is leading me to hell and this is an evil, sinful road and I say I've given my life to Christ, why am I still on this road? I question whether you have repented, because true repentance says a turnabout. And I'm not walking down that road. Now, I may have some hiccups, but I am not deliberately nor habitually walking down the wrong road, the path of sin. And I got about 3 amens on that. See, so my issue is this. You know, I understand people who have just gotten saved. But you cannot tell me you've been saved for 10 or 15 years and you still getting high. You still fornicating. For some of you that don't know what that is, that means having sex. And you don't have a ring on your finger. And I ain't talking about a play ring. You can't be playing house. I'm talking about you married. So, you're getting high. You're still fornicating. You're still cussing. You're still living an immoral lifestyle. You're still telling lies. I don't understand believers, you know, and we lie. And the Bible says a liar won't even tear in his sight, but we lie. And I know I ain't getting no help now. Somebody say amen. And we cheating on taxes. Tax time coming. You know that is not what you made. That no. It's more than that. Somebody say that's sin. That's sin. First thing Peter said, repent. Repent means to turn away from sin. Can I tell everybody something? Sin has consequences. Sin has consequences. Ezekiel 18 and 4 says, the soul that sins shall die. And I think we're in a generation now that we don't think that there's consequences to what we are doing. Yeah, you're waking up every morning. Thank God for new mercies. My Bible says he reigns on the just and the unjust. Come on, somebody. He causes the sun to rise on the evil and the good. So, but don't make no mistake, sin still has consequences. You're not getting away. And God wants to challenge the church to say, you have to start living right. If you say you belong to him, then you have to repent. You got to turn away from doing what's wrong. And when I see the New Testament church back in Acts 2, I see a church that did not tolerate sin. That when people wanted to sin, Ananias and Sapphira found that out, didn't they? Everybody was giving, you know, and here's the thing. It was a voluntary thing. Nobody said they had to sell their land and bring the proceeds to the apostles. They weren't required to do that, but out of their heart, they had a true conversion and they had a heart of generosity that they wanted to make sure that if there was a need, I had something to bring to the table. So Ananias and Sapphira, they were not obligated to do that, but they decided that they were going to do it. Now, everything's okay. They bring what they want to the apostles, and the apostle says, okay, is this everything? They could have said, no, I'm keeping a portion back. That still would have been okay. But the problem came when they said, yeah, that's everything. You sure, Ananias? Yep. You're lying. And guess what? He said, because you've lied, you're going to die right here. And he dropped dead. And then his wife came in later, gave her a chance too. Said, Sapphira, okay, is this everything? Did y'all sell everything? This is all the proceeds? She said, yep. She said, the same feet that took your husband out, they're going to take you out too. And she dropped dead. Oh, boy. Church didn't tolerate sin back then. I wonder if we knew that would happen, would we change our behavior? And I'm going to keep it moving right now because I ain't getting no help on that. But somebody say sin has consequences. And this is what the Bible said in Galatians chapter 6. He says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that will he also reap. So he that soweth to the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. You cannot sow in the flesh and expect to reap something in the spirit. It doesn't work that way. Sin has consequences. So don't believe the lie when people tell you, you can come to church and live in sin and all will be well. Tell somebody the devil is a liar. Now, you can't come to church and live in sin and think all's going to be well. There's a consequence to pay there. And that was one of the first things that Peter told them. He said, repent. And I'm on this point because I am seeing so much going on in local churches and in the body of Christ where we just doing stuff and we feel like it's okay to do when it's wrong. And God is saying, you can't do that. You got to repent. Sin has a consequence. So whether it's something that you're looking at, something that you're listening to, something that you're doing, whatever it is, some thought, something that you're articulating, whatever, if it's not in harmony with the word, it's sin. And you cannot be in the will of God and in sin at the same time. I know this is tight, but the glory of God is being released in the house. And so God is challenging us. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. Let's get it right. Because if you notice something, we are in those last day times now. In the last days, the Bible said perilous times would come. We're in perilous times right now. It is wicked and evil. And it was prophesied that this was happening. So we can't really stop it. But what we have to do, we were talking to the men on yesterday, we have to keep living holy in crazy times. We're living in some crazy times, but God has commanded us and he has given us his spirit so we can live holy in crazy times. So don't be swayed by what people are saying. You know, the moral compass has shifted. If you go on society's moral comfort, you're going to be all the way to the left and they're going to say it's okay to do. But when you look at the word, it doesn't agree with the word. So God wants us to continue to live holy. In Mark chapter 1, verse 15, when Peter began his ministry, began his ministry, the first thing he declared, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. So repentance must have been very important because that's the first thing that Jesus said. And now, just as Peter shared the gospel on the day of Pentecost and 3,000 souls were saved, we as believers are responsible for sharing the gospel message. Somebody say, I'm responsible. I'm responsible. So you must realize that people can't get saved until the gospel is presented to them. God can't give increase. So until we decide to rise up and present the gospel, we cannot assume that people are going to get saved because they can't. Because the word of God is a seed. And he says, I give seed to the sower and I multiply the seed that's sown. But if you don't sow a seed, then you can't get a harvest. So he says the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. So God needs some laborers. He needs some sanctified Holy Ghost filled people that love him enough to say, I am going to sow the seed of the gospel so that a harvest will come in of souls. And church, if we are still waiting for Jesus to do it, you're going to be waiting until he comes back again. He has given the church a responsibility to sow the seed of the gospel. Look at somebody and say, you're called to evangelize. Now, when we sow that seed, notice what happened. This is what Paul said. Paul said, some plant, some water, but God gives the increase. But if we don't do anything, we can't expect God to increase something that we have not done. You got to give God something to work with. And it's called the seed of the word. So some plant, some water, but God gives increase. So once the gospel has been sown into the lives of people through evangelizing, God can bring about supernatural results. But if we don't sow anything, we can't expect to get a harvest. So our job is to sow. So when we come to church, we got to understand this. We come to church, we learn the word of the Lord, we become mature believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, and then we go out and we are to reproduce ourselves. And if you don't share the gospel, then nothing can happen. Now, you are saved, you love the Lord, but what about your neighbor? What about your coworker? What about the people in your house? If you don't share, so you have to be willing to share the gospel. So our mission as a church is to evangelize, and God will handle the result. See, don't get caught up in the result. Well, you know, what if they reject me? What if they, you know, what if it doesn't work out right? That's not your responsibility. You got to see yourself like the mailman. When the mailman comes with your mail, somebody say your mail. The mailman, whether it's a man or a woman, they are not in their mind saying, okay, I wonder if they're going to accept this bill. I wonder if they're going to reject this AT&T bill. I wonder what they're going to say about this cell phone bill. Oh, God, I wonder, are they going to tell me not to give them their mortgage payment bill? I wonder what they're going to. The mailman is not caught up. You know what the mailman do? They open the box, whoop, go to the next house, open the box, whoop, go to the next house, open the box, whoop. I'm just the mailman. We are just mail carriers. And somebody's got to deliver the mail. Don't you want your mail? How many of you habitually, religiously go to your mailbox almost every day? And you check your mail. Some of y'all, you're in problem because you don't check your mail. Anyway. Because you want to see what you got. So guess what? We've got to do the same thing. We have to sow the seed of the gospel so somebody can get saved. And that's what they did in Acts. The Acts 2 model is about evangelizing souls that are unchurched, unsaved. So when Peter stood up on that day of Pentecost and he began to preach Christ and him crucified, guess what? 3,000 souls on that very day got saved. Imagine a harvest if we would open our mouth. And what does he say? If you look at Matthew chapter 28, verse 19, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And teach them to observe all things. And whatsoever I've commanded you, lo, I'm with you always. What does he say? Go ye therefore and teach all nations. And then he says in Mark 16 and 15, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want you to look at that. He says, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Did he say every creature? That means the church has a responsibility to reach the world. Then he says, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. I always use that scripture. We are believers. In my name, they shall cast out devils, they shall speak with new tongues, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not harm them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. But look at verse 19 and 20. So then, after the Lord had spoken unto them, because Jesus was telling them this, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. Which means Jesus went back to heaven, and he gave the responsibility of evangelizing to the church. Somebody say the church. Now notice verse 20. And they went forth preaching everywhere. Who is they? Come on, I can't get no help. Who is they? The church, the disciples. The Bible says Jesus was received back up to heaven, sitting on the right hand of the Father. And then the Bible said, and they went forth. Church, we are called to go forth. They went forth and they preached everywhere. And then the Bible said, the Lord working with them. Is that what your Bible says? In Mark 16 and 20, the Lord working with them. In other words, the Holy Spirit working with them. The Holy Spirit cannot work with us if we don't get up and do something. If you don't open your mouth, the Holy Spirit can't work. If you don't stand and start walking in the direction that the Lord tells you to walk in and go and minister to somebody, then the Holy Ghost can't work. The Bible said they went forth and they preached everywhere, the Lord working with them. And we are wondering why things are not changing. Things will never change until we stand up and start working. And when we work, the Lord will start working with us. Oh, God. Oh, God. And we are still putting the responsibility on Jesus. Jesus, save. Jesus, come down and deliver. Jesus, we need you, Lord. Jesus, make a way out of no. He said, no. I'm up in heaven. I'm on the right hand of the Father. I've given you that authority. To bind and to loose, to cast out devil, to lay hands on the sick. You don't need to call me for that. I've given you authority. And I can't get no help right now. I've given you power of attorney to use my name. Then he said in John, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. So you don't have to have me asking me to do something that I've empowered you to do. So the church, when we start moving, he'll start working with us. And notice, the Bible said, and he started working with them. And then the Bible said, confirming the word, the Logos. When they started to minister the gospel, they spoke about Jesus Christ. Guess what? Signs. He confirmed it with signs. If we're going to see a difference and we're going to make a difference, then guess what? We have to get busy and understanding that we have been deputized to go out and evangelize. That's our job. Matthew 9, chapter 37, I quoted it already. Jesus says this, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. He says, where are the workers? Where are those that I've called? If I can get some people that understand that the kingdom is more important than your next automobile. It's more important than your house. It's more important than your career. It's more important than how many zeros are in your bank account. We can get busy. And we can make a difference in this city. Not only do we take the community, but we're supposed to take the city. And if we're going to take the city, guess what? We got to get up and do something. And the Bible said when Jesus went back and sat on the right hand of the Father, guess what? They went forth preaching everywhere. And then the Lord started working with them. I wonder, boy, if we just get excited and start moving and saying, what am I going to do on Monday? I got to set up somebody. So you got to get in your mind. The Bible said, it is a wise man that wins souls. You got to set it up on Monday. Yeah, I got her. She's coming to my desk. She doesn't know I'm setting her up. I'm setting my boy up. Yeah, I got a word for him. You got to be wise. Your mindset is, God, lead me to somebody that I can minister to. And that's what they did. These people were so excited. They had lost sight of self. They sold all their possessions, brought all the money to the church. Don't get nervous. I ain't going to ask you to do that. Because you're like, somebody be saying, no, that was in the book of Acts. Pastor, we can't do that no more, you know. Don't get nervous. That was a heart thing. It was in their hearts that they felt like, you know what, I want to make sure everybody's taken care of. Because nothing's more important than Jesus Christ. Church, if we get back to that nothing's more important than him. A television show ain't going to save you, ain't going to heal you. You trying to keep up with Jay-Z and... He ain't going to send you a dime. You better call on Jesus. He answers prayer. All I'm saying is, when we get busy, God will move. Let me make this more personal. We left here last Sunday, me and co-pastor, and we're driving in the car and saying, okay, where are we going to go and eat? She said, well, you know, Longhorn or Outback. And I said, okay, well, we'll do Longhorn. So I'm going in the direction of Longhorn. And all of a sudden she gets this epiphany and says, nah, I want Outback. So I got to do a U-turn. You know how y'all change y'all mind in midstream, you know. You gave us the option to choose, and then at the moment we chose, you said, nah, let's go the other way. So, you know, midstream, do a U-turn, then we go to Outback. Okay, we get to Outback, and we get in there, and we say, a lot of people in here. And we notice people waiting on the outside as well. And we say, how long is the wait? 30 minutes. Now, you know, we just came off the fast. I ain't trying to feel 30 minutes. You know, I want to eat now. So like, Lord, I don't feel like waiting. And she didn't feel like waiting 30 minutes either, you know. So she leans her head over co-pastor, and she looks over in the bar area. She says, some tables are free over there. You got a problem? I said, I don't have no problem. Let's go on in the bar area. I'm okay. I'm still safe. So I went in. That's wrong. That's wrong. So I won't at the bar, but I was, you know. Let me clarify that. Cause some of y'all, see, I gotta clear that for some of y'all. Cause some of y'all said, Pastor went in the bar area. Pastor said at the bar. I didn't sit at the bar. I was in that area. Okay, but I was on the back wall in that area. Okay. So anyway, I'm making that clear because some of y'all are capitalized on that. Say, see, you can go in the bar. So we go in that area. And we, you know, we sit in this booth and everything's good. And then we've got two young ladies that are in a booth in front of us. Oh, I'm good with that until they start just talking loud. Okay, you're talking loud, that's fine, but then you're using words, you know, choice words. My spirit ain't trying to receive that, and so we dialogue, me and co-pastor, and say, well, maybe we need to move. And then we looked around and there was another booth. On the other side that we could have said, you know. But then we're listening. And co-pastor heard something. I didn't hear it, but she heard it. She said, and a young lady said, you know, she's a stripper. Okay. All right. Okay, God, you got us in this booth. She's a stripper. Okay. And then we heard this. This is what we heard. We heard she said something about her mother found out about it, and she went to church, and her mother tried to throw her on the altar and get her delivered. And she was just talking about, this is true. Am I right, co-pastor? This is a true story. And she's talking about church and how her mother, so we, you know, and we're just right here. And all of a sudden, we look at one another and say, this is our assignment. We ain't supposed to move. We're supposed to be here. So we're eating, and in between bites, we're listening. And we're praying. Okay, Holy Spirit, what do you want us to say? Because we knew we were supposed to say something. Now, we're not really talking, me and co-pastor, like that. But by the Spirit, we know something's supposed to happen. Okay? Now, they've already eaten, you know. Figure they might go get up in a few minutes. But we get our meal. We eat our entire meal. I do anyway. Jeez. Okay? So, we finish. We tip the waiter. And guess what? They're still there. So we get up. Now, I already, you know, I've got a word from the Lord. And she got something, too. But we're not talking like, you know, are you going to say something? I'm going to, you know, we just both get up. And she walks, co-pastor takes her coat, and she walks in front of me. The booth is right there. She walks over, and I'm right behind, and she leans over and starts talking to this young lady. And she says to that young lady, now granted, we don't know these two ladies from Adam. Leans over and says to that young lady, says, young lady, the Lord told me to tell you that where you are, you're not supposed to be. God has a purpose and a plan for your life. And she starts listening and she says something to co-pastor. She says, I'm normally talking to people and giving them advice. I've not had anybody that's over me, meaning somebody that's more senior to talk to me like this. Okay? And she's engaging a little bit. Now, co-pastor says something. She says, but the Lord told me to ask you a question. Why do you hate me so much? Or reject me At that moment, she got a little defensive, but tears started flowing out of this young lady's eyes. And we've got some more to it, but she was gripped at that moment. And we knew that we had done what God wanted us to do. Now, obviously, her mother had already sown the seed. We came back and watered. And what am I saying? Did we just end up at Outback by happenstance? No. We could have went to Longhorn. I was on the way. But that car had to turn and get to Outback. You know why? Because there was somebody that God had assigned for us to minister to. All I'm saying to the church now is that we've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit, that whether you're in Outback, Longhorn, Burger King, Chick-fil-A, I don't care where you are, even at the arena, you don't know. You might be sitting beside somebody that God said, I've set it up for you to minister to them. In your apartment complex, and you see this person every day, and you know, and something inside of you just telling you, why don't you say something? And you know, you're sitting back like, yeah, you know, I don't know what they're going to think. So what? What can they do? You know, and her friend, to be honest, her friend started getting a little bit antagonistic, but we didn't even give her time. We didn't say nothing to her. She was saying all the negative things. We just kept it going. Mm-hmm. Kept ministering. Just let the devil, you're a liar. You know, just keep it moving, you know, because you got to understand when you start ministering, sometimes the enemy is going to try to distract you. Don't give ear to that foolishness. You're on assignment. And that's what happened. That's what happened. So we believe God. We believe God that, you know, sow the seed, you know, and hopefully that got her attention. Somebody came back. That's how much God loves people. That God is not willing that any man should perish. So some of you on your job, you'd be surprised if you would just say something. You'd be surprised how people would be receptive because you've been living the life before them anyway. And this is what God is calling us to. So I just want to challenge the church that we have to do what Acts 2 did. Number one is we're going to start evangelizing. So we got to start getting out there. So I want to assign you to do something. This week, you look for somebody to just drop something on. It ain't got to be heavy. But just give them something. Some of you, God will give you a word, and you give them that word. If they're in the local area, invite them to church. Make a commitment. I'm bringing one next Sunday. I'm going to get them in the house of the Lord under the word of the Lord. Make a commitment. But let's start evangelizing, because somebody is on their way to hell if we don't open our mouth and say something. This is serious time. Come on, let's stand.